Angry Robot presents this unabridged recording of 25 to Life by R.W.W. Green, read by Elise Roth. It doesn't matter how smart teens are or how well they scored on the SAT or ACT. Good judgment isn't something they can excel in, at least not yet. The rational part of a teen's brain isn't fully developed and won't be until age 25 or so. In fact, recent research has found that adult and teen brains work differently. Adults think with the prefrontal cortex, the brain's rational part. This is the part of the brain that responds to situations with good judgment and an awareness of long-term consequences. Teens process information with the amygdala. This is the emotional part. In teens' brains, the connections between the emotional part of the brain and the decision-making center are still developing, and not always at the same rate. That's why when teens have overwhelming emotional input, they can't explain later what they were thinking. They weren't thinking as much as they were feeling. Research used to support passage of the 30th Amendment. University of Rochester Medical Center, Health Encyclopedia, reviewed by Joseph Campolone, M.D., and Raymond Kent Turley, B.S.N., M.S.N., R.N. 1. Julie's eyes rolled. It was the end of the world, and the DJ had no better response to it than industrial techno. The invitation Ben had slipped her the week before described the fete as the party to end everything and promised 12 hours of music and madness. After all, the font screamed, it's all downhill from here. All week, Ben had been referring to it as the P. Whatever direction the hill was headed, the music was too fucking loud. A migraine bass line, a rattle of synth snare, choral loops, robot assembler clashes, dark notes, and washtub thumps. Instinct demanded Julie crouch and cover her head, and she might have done had she been alone and had Ben given her room. Quit stepping on my heels, she said again. Ben shuffled back an inch or two. It had been years since either of them had seen so many people. Real, sweating, laughing, body heat people, crowded into one place, and his sense of security seemed to hinge on how close to her he could stand, his cinnamon-scented breath puffing against the side of her face. Great party, he said. Really glad we came. This was your idea. His idea, sure, but Julie had agreed to go and gotten her mother to sign the release. 2 more years lay ahead of her 25th birthday, which meant asking Mommy for permission to have fun. I don't care if you drink and have sex and raise hell, but for God's sake, don't let anyone get it on camera. Julie's mother had warned and authorized the autocab that carried them to the event. We'll get some drinks and relax, Julie said. If we don't like it, we can leave early. And then what? Spend the end of the world in Third Eye or in front of the vid? Break into Mom's medicine cabinet again for some happy patches? When they reached the head of the line, Ben showed his invitation to a woman sitting at a table beneath a banner advertising Melatonic, the party's corporate sponsor. She smiled. Some of her silver glitter lipstick had come off on her teeth. Come get mellow, guys! She reached below the table and came out with a Melatonic swag bag for each of them. Julie waved hers off. His own bag in hand, Ben joined Julie at the doorway of the ballroom. She grimaced. The PEE was an under-25 event hosted by a soft drink company, so it was about as grassroots hip as the McDonald's birthday bash Julie's parents had organized for her 9th. Still, the organizers could have made an effort, rented out an old warehouse or mall space rather than the ballroom at the Highway Marriott. The 3-sided video unit overhead hardly bothered to cover the garish chandelier it surrounded. Instead, it alternated showing particolored rhythmscapes, Melatonic commercials, and a mover of poor Q Pig saying,
"That's it, folks,"
in Hindi. A girl in tribal body paint slunk up beside Julie.
"What do you have?"
she said.
"What?"
Julie said. The woman patted her left clavicle.
"Apple? Tronic?"
"Oh," Julie flushed. "It's a Tronic. Is there a mod?" The girl handed Julie a plastic card.
"Can I get one?"
Ben said. "It only works if you have a pharma implant," body paint said.
"Won't do shit if you don't."
She drifted back into the shadows near the door. Her partner was there, pointing a scanner at people as they entered. Julie ran her right index finger over the raised design on the card and made a fist to send the scan to the miniature computer under her clavicle. The implant flashed a warning and grudgingly surrendered. The mod took an inventory of Julie's pharma and forced it to spit something more interesting than usual into her bloodstream. Ben gazed at the girl in the body paint, who was now handing out cards to a group of three.
"Do you think she's really naked?"
"Probably." He pulled his eyes back to Julie. "Are you feeling the mod yet?"
"Yep."
The hack was doing something lovely to Julie's endorphin and serotonin levels. She felt good, warm, loose. She took Ben's hand. "Let's get a drink." The refreshment tables were loaded with melatonics, six flavors of carbonated water chock full of melatonin, valerian root, and 17 other mood-altering herbs and spices. Ben opened a lemon lowdown. Julie picked a strawberry siesta.
"Sip and chill," it said on the aluminum bottle.
"How do they expect people to dance after drinking these?" Ben said.
"They're mostly swaying," Julie said.
A couple of dozen brave souls had taken to the dance floor. The rest of the partygoers were at the tables, barely looking at each other and playing holo games on their implants.
"This is lame. I'm sorry," Ben said.
Julie ran her hand up and down the back of his shirt sleeve. It was incredibly smooth, but at the same time, it seemed like she could feel every fiber.
"I love you, Ben."
He shook his head sorrowfully.
"That's just the drugs talking."
"Yeah, it is." She drained her drink.
"Do you want to dance?"
"You go ahead. I'll just hang out over there." He gestured at one of the empty tables.
"Benjamin Esposito, you are such a slug."
She grabbed his arm and dragged him back toward the entrance. Body paint's partner had left her standing alone looking bored.
"Hey. My friend's brain is too normal to need a pharma. Do you have anything else?"
"Like real drugs?"
"Yeah."
The girl spread her arms and turned in a slow circle. She'd done the "do you have an implant" pantomime so many times she had a bare spot above her left breast. She also had a denuded place on her ass from where she'd been leaning against the wall. Otherwise, it was just her and the paint against the end of the world.
"Do I look like I'm holding anything?"
Julie blinked owlishly.
"Nope, you are definitely naked. What about the guy you were with?"
"My brother. Do you know how much trouble we could get into selling drugs at an underage party?"
"So don't sell it." Julie held out her hand.
"Give. It's the end of fucking everything." The girl started to scratch her neck, but caught herself.
"He's in the bathroom. Send Mr. Normal in there and tell him Cassandra says it's okay."
Julie waited outside the bathroom while Ben went in to negotiate. He came out slowly, holding his fist at waist level.
"What did you get?"
Ben opened his hand to reveal a single green pill.
"No idea. Could be 12 Molly, could be a laxative."
"Either one will help you get rid of some of that shit you're packing." Julie handed him a fresh lemon lowdown.
"Take."
60 minutes later, Ben and his drug dealer's little sister were in the corner messing up her paint job. Julie was on
Sample complete. Ready to continue?